Good evening.
Hello, this is Judy.
It's nice to hear from you. I hope you're well. I hope your husband is well.
He is doing really well right now. Thank you.
Good, and I hope things are going well with your kids.
Everything is going good right now. Thank you. I appreciate I got your email today. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Please join me in saying the Ana Bakoa.
Okay.
Ana Bakoa. Sidila Tumila. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then return it to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was recreated to do. Perfectly. Bahem tacharem Rachame tzidkatcha Tamim Tamim Betet reish Sadi tach gimel Chasin kadosh Na Yahid Gea Lamcha The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, the bull, the Taurus. Together, the Pei and the Vav have a gematria of 86, which is the gematria of the name of God Elohim, and also the name of God, or the name, the Hebrew word for nature, Hateva. And we learn from this that 86 connects us to the laws of and principles of cause and effect, the spiritual cause and the physical effect. Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene For the second time, you give Malamed Pesayim Tuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tiakatenu Yo Shin Kufav. And the four verses from the Tanakh that we say. One from last year that connects us to the energy of last year, where we did to make changes to ourselves and we were able to manifest the ceasefire in the south of the land of Israel. But we say that verse so we don't lose faith, we fall back, we don't let it happen that we lose a ceasefire. And we move this ceasefire forward to be a full peace treaty. And not just in the south, but in all of the directions. Wasam ti makom That verse was 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. And this year we have three verses that connect to the energy. The energy of seeing through the illusion, to be able to see the truth about the angel of death, that it's no longer needed, that his job is complete, and no one has to die any longer. We need to move that forward. We need to change ourselves. We need to come to the truth that the angel of death is an illusion. And let's move past it and through it. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Come on, and then the verse for Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. And the third verse, which is also from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo la netza, and now we're going to say a verse from the Zohar to bring the energy of holiness into our space. We're going to read from the part of Tohukotai, the third section. We're going to start with Pasuk 14. And we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Urchimu Urchilu Urchilu Udchilu Liavda Shem Yudke Bavavke The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Devar Acher Kasher Yedaber Hashem Eilai Al Yedei Dehahu Shalicha Tesidra Achara Ve'itema Ha'be'imama Ishtakach L'gabeya Ela vadai benachash istachluta Hawabeya uvahuzimna Hawamistakel lekavna Shatah hidiktiv v'lo halach kepam Bepam likrat nechashim v'yar bilam ki tov b'enei Hashem levarech et Yisrael ela dehahu yoma istakal lekavna shatah v'la ishtakach Kishar yomei ukten kamadeha rugza rabba la ishtakach v'alma kedem yada kitov v'ene Hashem v'varech et Yisrael v'hahu zimna Shavik Garmeya Mikol Mechashim Dialma Vila istakal behu hahidiktiv velo halach bekef pa'am bepa'am likrat nechashim. Another interpretation. For as Hashem shall speak to me is through a messenger of the other side, namely the chieftain. One might claim he also visits him by day, as it is written, and Elohim met Bilam, which happened by day, and he answers, surely he was using enchantments, also called Elohim. At that time he was seeking a good opportunity, as it is written. He went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments. And Bilam saw that it would please Hashem to bless Israel. How did he see? At that time he was searching to find a fitting time to curse Israel, but found nothing, unlike in other times. He saw that there was no great wrath upon the world, and knew that it is good in the eyes of Hashem to bless Israel. He discontinued using any of the divinations of the world, and did not observe them. Hence it is written, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments. My commentary. During the blessings and the curses said in Parasha B'Chukotai, we find a relationship between Israel and the other nations. What happens to Israel happens to the other nations tenfold. According to these verses and the relationships, when Israel is in unity, then the other nations join in unity. When Israel does not do its job, then the other nations are given permission to bring chaos to Israel, which brings chaos to themselves. This is an important consequence of cause and effect. Look to Israel to see what is happening in the world. Bring unity to Israel, and that will bring peace in the world. Does anyone have any questions? Tonight's class is class number 77 of Advanced Reincarnation. You can find it on the Hashem webpage, on the Revealed Wisdom section. I believe it's row 11. It's second column from the left. Click on the link for Advanced Reincarnation classes. When that opens up, scroll down to class number 77. Open that link, and it will open up in the middle of the page where we left off last week. We're speaking about Elisha this night. We're speaking at chapter 32, section 5. Are there any questions before we begin? Elisha was from the root of Hanoch, called Metatron. And at night, it's common practice to only say Memtet, so I hope I will remember that if it comes up again. From the aspect of the Neshama of Atzilut, which is called the Zehira Ila'a of Adam. Therefore, in order to complete his soul, spread of all levels, the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama of Atzilut, he needed to take the Nefesh of Nadav and Avihu, which was the Nefesh of the Zehira Ila'a of Adam, which was presently in Elijah, who was his teacher. Since Elijah merited the Ruach of the Zehira Ila'a, as mentioned before, he therefore said, your Ruach be mine. Hinted in Baruch Ha, your spirit, is what we explained in the earlier Zohar, that though both the Nefesh and the Ruach of Abihu were from the root of Cain, whereas the Nefesh of Nadav was from another root, making only his Ruach from the root of Cain. Thus, since only his Ruach was from Cain, he said, Baruch Ha, meaning your Ruach, and not Nefesh. I didn't put a commentary, but what this is explaining in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, the writings of, or the prophets, the Hebrew is not normal. It's spelled Barucha instead of simply Baruch. And that question, that explanation, is what the Ari is explaining here. So his name is Elisha. Or with respect to Cain, it says,
yeah,
Cain and his meal. I'm sorry?
Good.
Was there a great question?
You know where my headphones are?
Yeah.
Oh?
Jasmine, we're hearing you. So, do you have a question? Please mute your phone so the background noises don't come through. Press star 6. Thank you. So his name is Elisha, or with respect to Cain, it says, to Cain and his meal offering, he did not pay attention. Since he rectified Cain, he is called Elisha, as if to say, Li, which means it's the Hebrew word for to me, Sha'ah, Hebrew for pay attention. His name then means, to me, God did pay attention. Whereas to Cain, he did not, before his tikkun. Here is an Arizal that touches upon the essential issue of the Cain root. The Torah is not a history book. And when it relates an account, the points outlined are all meant to teach foundational ideas about the scenario. Cain's offering was not accepted. He became discouraged. God warned him not to fall. He still went on to murder Abel. Now, that's a very short summary of a very complex discussion, because it has nothing to do with his offering not being accepted. On another level, Cain had one wife, and Abel had two wives. They were twin sisters, but in those days, in those generations, there was no distance between yourself and your soulmate. It was very easy for you to find your soulmate. They were born with you as your soulmate, as your sister. And you went through life knowing that that's who you were going to marry. But Abel had two wives, and Cain became jealous. Was he jealous of his sister, Abel's twin sister? Was he jealous over her beauty? That's never been explained in any of the Midrashim that I've seen. But whatever the cause, Cain was angry with Abel and jealous of Abel. And that is not hatred for no reason. People need to understand and think about, what does it mean to have hatred for no reason? Because that is the tikkun that people in our generation still must correct. What is hatred for no reason? It's not jealousy. Jealousy is a reason. It's not a valid reason. It's not a good reason. But it's still a reason. What is hatred for no reason? I'm going to continue to read. I'm getting some static, so I'm going to change the control. If you want to ask a question, please press star 6 as we go forward. A person should always work to keep his spirits up. A central theme of these chapters is to explain how the different parts of Cain's mistakes were fixed. They all stem from discouragement. The starting point of it is good, a desire to find favor in God's eyes. A tikkun must be made for what ensues, a falling of the heart. If not, this dynamic itself comes from the tohu root. It starts out with much light, much desire to go to do God's will. And by nature, one aspires to too much light, attaining a level above their reach. The result is a shattering of the vessel, discouragement. This brings the Sitra Achra, the other side, over, and the person goes on to make mistakes and destroy themselves. One must nip it in the bud by self-fortification and never allow discouragement and depression to cross the heart. Therefore, a person should always work to keep his spirits up. The spirit of a man sustains his ailment. This is true even physically. How much more so in regards to soul issues? Rabbi Nachman emphasized that no matter what, one should never give up. No matter what a person did or does, and to where they might have strayed and fallen, there is always hope. For no outcast shall be pushed away from you. That's a verse from Samuel 2. God really loves each soul very much and desires for it to come back to him. He sometimes shows a distancing in order to awaken the person to try harder, etc. One must not pay attention to the outward pushing away. Only plow on to do teshuvah in all circumstances, no matter what. Elisha trailblazed a major milestone step in this tikkun. He opened the path to the world in which the Cain root can say, Lisha'a, to me he showed favor, he showed attention. I know that God really loves me and wants me to return to him. That being the case, I will plow through whatever obstacles he sees fit to place before me and come back to him. I already alluded earlier that Pinchas is called Elijah to indicate that the Ibur of Nadab and Avihu, which came from Cain, was rectified by him. Therefore, the three letters, Aleph, Lamed, Yud, of Elijah are also in the name Elisha, indicating that Elisha also rectified these three letters, like Elijah. This would indicate that Elisha didn't complete the rectification, but it was also necessary to have an aspect called Elijah, or Elisha. Excuse me for getting these names confused. These letters from Eli, my Lord, as in, this is Eli, my Lord, and I will glorify him. This means divinity to me is fixing the defect of Nadab and Avihu that draw too much godliness and caused it to depart from the self. Eli is the gematria of 41, which equals M, or mother. Bina, the upper Shekhinah, the maternal aspect of the Sefirot. Just as a mother takes care of and nurtures the child, so does God tend to the soul and its needs. Malchut, the lower Shekhinah, is concerned with the physical needs of people. This level of closeness was what Nadav and Avihu wanted to draw. Elisha, fixed their improper drawing and afforded the world access to it. This is in line with Nadav and Avihu's deaths when the Mishkan was being consecrated. Rashi explains that the souls of Nadav and Avihu were taken to the heavens as part of the spiritual inauguration. In order to draw down the intense level of the Shekhinah that rested in the Mishkan, a tremendous awakening from below had to be stirred up. Only the greatest souls were powerful enough to do this. And so Moses remarked to his brother Aaron that he had thought one of them would be taken for the task. Seeing that Aaron's sons were taken shows that they were greater. The Shekhinah is the personification of the divine maternal aspect that looks after the souls. Elisha fully fixed what Nadav and Abihu tried to do. And so they share the letters of motherhood of Eli. They make an earth-shattering tikkun that lasts for all generations to the end of time. What comes out is that Nadav and Abihu were only trying to do good, and they ended up doing good. The establishment of the Mishkan, the forerunner of the Holy Temple, the center of divinity in the universe, was all drawn down through them. Relative to themselves, they tried for too much and were burned. Relative to the world, they made an earth-shattering tikkun that lasts for all generations, to the end of time. Elisha only had to perfect what they did. This is the secret of the children's mocking, who said to him, Elisha, "Go up, bald head." In Hebrew, the word is keriach, the same letters as Korach. Go up, bald head. For Korach, the son of Yitzhar, was the ruach of Cain from the side of evil, which is why he went down to Sheol alive. The children wanted to insult and curse Eli, as if to say, Korach went down to Sheol and needs to ascend. If you come from the root of Cain, how can you ascend? The most difficult task is to fix the Cain root. Since the final redemption depends upon it, it must happen. However, those that are involved in it have to undergo the greatest hardships. Elijah, the teacher and soul root of Elisha, was the diametrical opposite of Korach. He was punished unnaturally, and he descended alive to the pit. Elijah miraculously ascended alive to heaven. Korach tried to usurp Moses. It was a lack of faith in Moses. He said, "The entire congregation is holy, and God is in their midst." He seemed to be preaching democracy. As mentioned, Korach was trying to bring a higher level into the world prematurely. Everyone is equal. This arrangement is rooted in Korach's source, the world of Tohu. There, each of the Sefirot receives the light of En Sof directly, without coming on to each other. This order was followed by the world of Tikkun. A hierarchy was set up in which the Sefirot receive by means of an interrelated system. Presently, the world needs to be run by the Tikkun order. Through this, it will reach a state of being ready to receive the superior lights of Tohu. Until that time, just as the Sefirot receive from each other, so it is by man below. This is the root of the teacher-student, the leader-people order. Korach tried to change this and make everyone equal before it would be productive. On the other hand, Elisha, from the Korach root, was the classic student. As mentioned, he is the root model, an exemplification of the highest goal of every student, to receive a double portion of his teacher's spirit. Thus, he fixed the Korach root. This in itself is the secret of why he was then attacked by those bad children. When something is finally being fully fixed, the Sitra Achra is then most concerned about trying to thwart it. For this reason, when a person sees things seeming to go wrong, this could be because he is on the verge of a breakthrough, or it may be because he has just attained a higher level. It's also the reason, one of the five reasons, signs of a soulmate relationship in a marriage. When the family is so against the marriage, until after the marriage, when they all comes down. usually by the time the grandchild is brought. They also were hinting that just as Korach ben Yitzhar was shaved by Moses, as were all the Levites in their inauguration, and was thus bald of any hair, so too was Elisha bald of his hair, since the root of his soul was connected to Korach. This is what caused the Ibur of Nadav and Avihu after that, for they too were the root of the soul of Korach. Furthermore, just as Moses used the 42-letter name to kill the Egyptian, who was from the Nephesh of Cain, from the side of evil, so too did Elisha mention the 42-letter name and kill these 42 children, as the Zohar states. Elisha saw that the souls of these children were from a very evil place. He killed them for their own tikkun and the sake of the world. And you also are getting a hint to why certain men go bald, including your teacher. The 42-letter name fixes the shattering of the vessels. Moses saw that the part of Cain that killed Abel was in that Egyptian. He also saw that it was completely bad, and no good would come out of it. Because of these, he killed him. The same applies to Elisha, with these children who were born from the evil of Cain. The 42-letter name fixes the shattering of the vessels, from which comes the bad of Cain, and is so fitting to use to destroy this negative element. And they were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Hairs are constrictions, garments for thoughts and ideas. The secret of baldness is a lack of constriction. Before the sin, it was possible to perceive the divine light directly. Afterwards, it was only possible through constrictions. As said, this was the mistake of Korach, to attempt to restore the world to this state before it was ready. Esau, on the other hand, was a hairy man from too much constriction. This gave him extreme tendencies towards judgment. The arrangement of the world of Tikkun has each level as if clothed in the level beneath it. The step lower finds the light of the higher level toned down through its claws. This is also the concept of hair. Korach, who rebelled against the system of hierarchy and gradation, therefore was bald. Elisha incorporated the good aspect of what Korach was trying to do, and so was somewhat bald. Even though all the Levites were completely shaved by their inauguration ceremony, afterwards they could grow their hair. Korach kept himself bald at all time. Levites are from the left side of Din. The service of the temple is designed to draw chesed into the world. It specifically requires the Levite, the din element, in order to do its thing, accomplish a sweetening of din. This is the reason why the Levites sing in the temple. The best music comes out of troubles. The greatest chesed comes out of sweetened judgment. In order to be able to do this, the Levites had to first be shaved of all hair. This opened of them a path to their service to clear away din and ameliorate it. Through this nullification and humility, he prepared the world for the final state and struck a proper balance between the two approaches that could be received in his time. It's the end of the section 5. Does anyone have a question?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Can you explain just a little, like clarify a little bit more exactly what the lack of constriction with baldness, kind of explain that a little bit more?
On a simple level,
yes.
Hair represents the constriction. What is constriction? It's a narrowing, a funneling, a reduction of the infinite light of God to be able to be capable of withstanding and not breaking the vessel in the material world. Anything physical cannot receive something that is infinite. It has to be stepped down. It has to be transformed down. On a human body, your hair represents that constriction. It allows the light that's internal to the body to become external. And that's why there are hairs on the human body in various places. Where are those places? On the face. In the face of a man, there are 13 locations on the face where hair grows. 13, we should recognize, has to do with the unity, the oneness. On the body, that hair only grows in 9 places. Why? It's the understanding that the light that was in the head that wanted to get through the narrow place called the neck can't get through the neck. Only 9 levels of the 13 can get through the neck. And so the hair on a man's face is that restriction, that light that wants to go to the body but can't get there. It's being transformed to a lower level of intensity. And that's why it's called restriction. I hope I was clear, but perhaps not. One day I'll give a class on hair. I got a question from somebody today that I will speak about on Wednesday as to why we don't cut our hair during the Omer period. So if you're interested in that subject, please listen in on Wednesday and remind me to answer that question.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Is there any other questions? So chapter 32, section 6a, we're going to discuss Hezekiah, the king of Yehuda. After that, he reincarnated. Who reincarnated? We're talking about the soul of Cain, who came through Elijah and came through Elisha, and now he's being reincarnated into Hezekiah, the king of Judah. To hint to what is written by our sages, in the days of the flood, God hung it on Cain weakly. And with respect to him, it says, all that existed was eradicated. After it was rectified, he was called Hezekiah, because through him Cain was nitzazek, strengthened from his weakness. The generation of the flood was an expression in our history below of the mechanics of the world of Tohu above. Therefore did they do Tohu, oriented sins. This does not mean that they didn't have free choice. Rather, their spiritual root, as in the case of everyone, caused certain tendencies. The person's job is to deal with whatever tendencies he finds within himself, according to the divine will. The lights of Tohu shattered the vessels and were left without receptacles. The sin that most resembles and is actually drawn from this is the wasting of seed, masturbation for the male, or for the female to some lesser degree. There are souls in semen. As long as it is emitted into the female receptacle, nice way of describing a feminine sex organ, the souls that rest in it are thereby put into spiritual vessels. Even when there is no conception, souls are thereby rectified. read that well, understand that well. People often ask, well, if there's no child going to be drawn because the woman has passed her menstruation, what's the purpose? And the purpose is right there. Conception, orgasms, the love between men and women in marriage, even if there is no children brought, is rectifying souls. It's actually creating souls, according to the Zohar. Not creating in the ultimate sense of creation, but in the concept of the world of Yetzirah, forming souls, taking souls that Hashem creates and attuning them to be who they need to be in the next generation and when they reincarnate. I'm looking for where I left off. If not, it creates naked souls that become mazikim, damagers, that harass and suck energy from the soul of the one who produced them. Now you know what is the chaos of people having to do with wasting seed. Now you know where is the chaos and why there is something called cancer of the prostate. The rabbis teach that this was the main sin of that generation, and it caused the flood to come upon them. The Tohu theme of shattering vessels also associates with breaking boundaries. From it comes theft, violating the right of another to his property. This was the other main sin of that generation. The general theme of the Tohu motion associates with Cain. He committed both crimes. He was jealous of his brother's portion, itself a violation of boundaries. And this went further when he took his brother's wife and placed his seed in her. He then completely violated the limits and murdered his brother, leaving his soul without a vessel. For the blood is the soul. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He planted the root of the expression in the world. The principal Tohu theme of the vessels shattering left them weak. Heskia, who fixed the Tohu Cain root, he repaired and strengthened it. Heskia merited 1/3 of the portion of the firstborn that was meant for Cain. The letters Yud, He, and Vav from Eli, or from Eliyahu, Elijah, were rectified. As a result, Heskiah, merited 1/3 of the portion of the firstborn that was meant for Cain, who was the firstborn of Adam. They are priesthood, kingship, and the firstborn right mentioned by the Targum Yonathan on the verse, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Keter is the highest of the Sephirot. It means crown, the king's primary expression of royalty. It itself divides into three sub-coronets. Expressed in the world as the crowns of firstborn, the priesthood, and the kingship. The coordinates of the three heads within Keter assume varied expression. By the way, the Mashiach will need to be a firstborn. Most people overlook that. Also below, they can come out in different manners. There are also three crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. In this set, Torah takes the place of firstborn. And see Rabbi Nachman's teachings in the Likutei Maharan for the understanding of how they are interchangeable. The crown of a good name surpasses them all. It is the general surrounding aspect that encompasses them all together, Name identifies with Malchut. The highest level of a good name shines in Malchut. The lowest level. The perfect level is when they are all found together in one person. The three heads are the ultimate source of the right, left, and middle principles that governs existence. The greatest manifestation of the absolute divine unity is when they are all found in one individual. I have forgotten how powerful these sections are. They really are amazing, the messages and the teachings in them. Cain made great offenses. He tended to do this only because he had super potential for good. He was supposed to embody all of the three heads of Keter together. In place of this, he committed three major crimes: jealousy, adultery, and murder. The acharaim, the backside aspects of the three heads, manifesting in the Keter of the Setra Achra. On the right side of the fence, the three heads express in the self as desire, delight, and faith. On the wrong side, desire turns into being jealous and wanting what another has. Delight becomes the forbidden pleasure of adultery. Faith, the source of the Sefer HaMaaseiot, transforms to murder. This unraveled the bundle, disallowing the three to express together and darkening the manifestation of the Keter. Jacob attained a great degree of perfection. Through this, his children stood in the heights of the universe. Reuben, the firstborn, was equipped to don priesthood and kingship. This would have made the tribes into a miniature Mashiach tikkun and caused the final redemption to come much sooner. The Egyptian redemption would have been for all time. Still, the world was not yet ready for it. This caused a tremor in the family bond that pushed Reuben to disturb the bed arrangement of his father. What we learn from this has to do with, did Reuben have free will to disturb the bedding arrangement of Jacob and Bilhah? The answer is, as I've spoken recently to let people understand, any leader is manifesting the will of that group of people. Any leader has no free choice. They're doing what the combined consciousness, the quantum consciousness of the people who follow them, want. Apply this to every aspect of our lives, every leader in the modern world, and you'll begin to see cause and effect and really understand what is happening. The Talmud explains that anyone who says that Reuben actually sinned is making a mistake. The Shekhinah, Malchut, rests on the beds of Tzadikim. Malchut is the last Sefirah that ricochets up and binds with the first Sefirah, Keter. The end is embedded in the beginning, and the beginning in the end comes from the Sefer Yetzirah. And he, Achashverosh, placed a Keter, Malchut, a royal crown on her, Esther's head. And he made her queen in place of Vashti. It is specifically through Malchut connection below that the Keter is completed and its three heads are bound together and come into expression. Upsetting the Malchut connection again separated the three heads. As a result, Reuben lost all three and they were divided. Joseph was given the firstborn right. Levi, the priesthood, and Judah, the kingship. The letters Yud, He, and Vav give into the final He of Malchut. They are rooted in the three heads. By fixing them, Hezkiyahu, who is from Judah, was able to draw them to Malchut and take his portion of the three heads, that of the kingship. Thus, Hezkiyahu wore the crown of kingship, and this is the secret of what our sages say. God wanted to make Hezkiyahu the Mashiach. He was the head, the kingly aspect of the shoulder of Cain, making him fit for the position of royalty. The reason was because he was from Cain, the firstborn, and so was he fitting to take the crown of kingship and to be the future Mashiach. However, it didn't happen because he didn't sing Shirah. He didn't compose a song. The final redemption comes through the song of the world that is coming. Hezkiyahu was very righteous. He brought his generation to such a great level that even children were great Torah experts. Torah comes out from supernal Chachma. Mashiach's job is to infuse the world with the step above, the Keter. This is reached through song. Therefore, the final redemption comes through the song of the world to come, the world that is coming, which Mashiach will sing and teach the world. Any messianic candidate can only be in the ballpark of reaching this level by first attaining a great plateau of Chachma. Hezkiyahu did ascend to this place. All he had to do was sing to activate his messianic potential. The rabbis do not explain why he did not do this. And the answer to that is the quantum consciousness of the world, that Hezkiyahu was the king. He was the leader. And the quantum consciousness did not allow him to manifest. Even though we all know, Az Yashir Moshe, then Moses will sing. This is a verse on the Song of the Sea. It's not a translation of Moses sang. The translation is Moses will sing. And Moses is a spark of the Mashiach. He is the Mashiach. He reincarnates in every generation as the potential Mashiach. And he will sing. But Hezkiyahu, his generation wasn't ready for that, and thus he did not sing. Continuing to read, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And this is the commentary by Rabbi Auerbach. But I have to explain to you, maybe I don't have to, but I'm going to. I teach a different form of harmony, probably because my voice can't harmonize and always goes off key. I don't have the skill in the level of voice to harmonize with other people. So I teach that harmony comes from diversity. Harmony is the diversity of the universe singing together. Not in harmony in the traditional sense of harmony, but in the fact that they were all created, we all were created, and our singing is always harmonious as long as we are in unity. Not the unity that my way is the right way and your way is wrong, but the unity that I am a creation of the Creator, and you are also a creation of the Creator. And that's why when we do the Anabah Koach, I tell you, go find the song that sings to you, that speaks to your essence. Don't just follow my essence, the way I sing. And those of you who are oriented to song know that I don't sing the same way every day, because I have a different energy every day. But that harmony comes potentially every day through the diversity of the creation. That's the end of the section on Hezkiyahu. Does anybody have any questions? I'm going to stop here. It's actually the end of the chapter. There is no part seven. But we're out of time. And this will be for next week, along with chapter 33 that we will start. Does anyone have any questions? I'm going to discuss the following 2 weeks with you. Tonight, we counted the 39th day of the Omer. If you didn't count it, I suggest you do so. The 39th day of the Omer is connected to the Hebrew word tal, which means do. And we have prophecies that indicate the Mashiach will come through do, as an aspect of do, as an effect of do. Now, tomorrow night is Wednesday. Wednesday night is our question and answer period. So if you have a question, please send it to me. I have one question at this point. I mentioned it about hair, but I'm not really prepared to answer about hair completely in all its aspects like a class would be. So please, if you have other questions, send them to me by email, by text, by mental telepathy. Maybe I'll get it that way. Who knows? Thursday at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a Zohar class. And we're speaking about the Zohar from Behar, the Chukotai, the double portion. Saturday night, we will have a Zohar class on the Parasha of Bamidbar. Very significant portion. We need the energy of Bamidbar in order to receive the Torah. Now, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? The Torah includes Bamidbar, so how do we need the energy of Bamidbar to receive the Torah, to manifest the gift of the Torah? I will leave you to contemplate that. But that's what's happening Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Yes, I know it's late, but Shabbat ends late. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will be continuing our preparation for the holiday of Shavuot. Monday at 7 o'clock, we will be learning, continuing the new class on the mitzvot of the Bnei Noach, the children of Noach. I hope you'll join us for that. Tuesday, we will have class number 78 in advanced reincarnation. That will be at 7 o'clock also. Now, what else are we going to do? The following Saturday night, the 23rd of May, is Erev Shavuot. It's an all-night study. We will stay up the whole night studying Torah, listening to Torah, dealing with code words in Torah, two-letter names with certain vowels. We're going to learn much of that. We have a promise from the Ari that if we do that, stay up all night on Shavuot evening, we have a promise, a guarantee from the Ari that we will have 4 months of chaos-free life. Chaos-free, meaning no chaos. And we will have that for at least the 4 months until Rosh Hashanah, and possibly for the whole year. The language is not clear in the Hebrew. I hope you'll join us. Does anyone have any questions? Have a beautiful week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.